All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
All right. People are asking in the chat. They're saying, did they forget to go live? Quad's getting some last minute gritty practice in. As promised, we did say if there was any response to Jake Wallman for hitting the gritty, and look, Nils Höglander just got fined for a cross check on our side stick, whatever it was. We're going to get into all that. I'm knocking it out right away. I'm getting it out of the way. I will do the gritty. I promised I would do it. And we got a wide shot in the studio. Harmon, you're there. People don't see you on the camera, but you're there. Have you seen my gritty?
I have. I'm very excited for this.
Okay, so I'll move
extremely. I'm gonna rate this somewhere between Zadorov and Wallman.
So I watched a bunch of tutorials this morning, and basically what I learned is that you gotta like tap your feet, like a heel toe tap is what I watched in the video. You do a heel toe tap, and then you add a hop right on top of that, and then you just throw in the hands and you do B's. I don't know why. I don't know what for, but you do B's. This is what you do with your hands, and then so heel toe tap. Right? I got that going. And then you just throw it up and you just...
That's slick.
That's right. That's right.
That's smooth.
Slick. Yeah. And you can go backwards. So that's how I spent
my
evening.
You're looking like a young Jake Wallman.
So I've watched tutorials a lot, and we'll bring Harmon in. Great. We'll make the transition, but I've watched a lot of tutorials and I had to learn how to do it. We got to fire up the show properly now. Grady's got to zoom in my camera, so I'm going to tell you. I'm a little out of breath after that. It's quite an indictment on me. I'm going to tell you about our presenting sponsor. Not sure if they will be after seeing that. It's Toyota and the 2023 Toyota BZ4X. Whew! The BZ4X is Toyota's brand new all-electric SUV that's designed to go the distance for you and your family. The BZ4X is packed with Toyota's coolest tech, but it still has that trusty SUV feel you know and love. And even though it's electric, it's capable of effortlessly conquering any terrain. Whether it's rain, snow, mud, or your friend's questionable post-game recaps, or watching me do the gritty, the BZ4X will get you through it all. And of course, we are coming to you from the iconic Wall Center in downtown Vancouver. Looking for your next meeting space? Contact the Wall Center for all your event needs at sales@wallcenter.com. Speaking of the Wall Center, Harm, we've talked about many times how there's a giant window that looks into our studio, and sometimes people will stop. Look, sometimes people take pictures, all that sort of stuff. And I'm happy to say there was nobody watching when I just popped out the gritty.
Well, I'm hearing that the Detroit Red Wings are offering you PTO. They're on the phone right now.
Well, you know
they're
what?
Saying, Harm, we need your co-host.
Oh, we've got, okay. I'm just gonna go through some of the response to that we got. Karan, oh God, cancel the show right now. People really liking it. There's a bunch of people saying they love this show. Proud of you. Someone clip that. Don't worry, we're gonna clip it. And RP88 pointing something out. That winded quads a bit. It did. It's, I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe because I do an ad read right after it. But it did. It winded me a little bit here. Gnar, quads doing the gritty, had some Richard Simmons vibes. You know who Richard Simmons is?
I don't.
Oh man, I gotta pull up Richard Simmons for you. He was like he did home workout videos. That's Richard Simmons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I'll have to show you some videos after. Anyways, I like that. That's a good pull, Gnar. Captain Canuck. Captain Canuck getting robbed at gunpoint. Give me everything you've got. Insert clip of quads hitting the gritty.
Well, next time you walk into the Canucks locker room, you better watch out.
Well, yeah.
Someone's going to just cross-check you.
I've got moves for the watch party, which is next Thursday. It's coming up fast, folks. Get your tickets at nationgear.ca. All right. We started a little late today, so we're not going to waste any more time talking about the gritty. Well, the gritty will come up on the show, but I'm not going to do it anymore, and we're definitely not going to talk about me doing the gritty. We have to talk about, as the title suggests, Jake Walman's tough night as the Vancouver Canucks take down the Detroit Red Wings by a final score of 4-1. Moments before our show went live, Nils Höglander fined the maximum amount by the NHL, $2,468 or something like that. He was fined that amount by the NHL for high-sticking Jake Walman. That was the second high stick on Walman last night. The first one was from Pettersson, obviously on a follow-through, so it wasn't a penalty. But Höglander, yes, at the end, and then Pia Suter as well, getting tied up with Jake Walman, who finished as a -3 on the night.
Yeah, you couldn't have written up a better revenge script for the Canucks than what unfolded last night. I mean, right from the opening faceoff, you could tell that the Canucks had a bone to pick with Walman, because Garland on the first forecheck hit Walman a little harder than usual. Now, Garland's not the biggest guy, so it didn't really land as a thunderous check, but you could tell there was some extra mustard on that. Plus, Garland had a couple cross checks afterward. I don't know how much the TV cameras caught that, but from the press box away from the play, you could definitely see it. And you're like, okay, yeah, there's going to be some stuff going down tonight. Then, of course, most importantly, the three goals against and the loss. I mean, the way the goals unfolded as well, Lindholm's first one, the shot goes through him, right? It's a cool drag move by Lindholm in a one-on-one situation. Walman can't make the defensive stop. Then Lindholm's second goal, which iced the game in the third period, it's Walman caught up the ice, leaving his partner, Mo Sider, out to dry on an odd man rush. So -3, as you said, plus Zadorov doing the gritty back.
Tons of tears coming out of the penalty box.
Slamming his stick.
Yes. And that was, sorry, it wasn't the penalty box. He was at his bench and he slammed his stick at the glass. And then I texted this to you because you were at the game. I was watching the broadcast at home because I ended up having to do rink-wide, as people yesterday noticed. Zadorov mocking the dance moves. And look, as somebody who knows how to do the gritty now, that wasn't the gritty. He wasn't doing the gritty. He was mocking that he was doing dance moves, which is fair. But yeah, Zadorov, he can't be part of the club of people who do the gritty.
He said, he was asked about it after the game, smiles and goes, well, I'm not as good as the guys in red at doing that, which I loved. And even when Thatcher Demko, he was asked about going for the empty net goal, Zadorov was like, yeah, if they're going to do dance moves after overtime goals, then we're going to try goalie goals on the empty net. Plus, I don't think the TV cameras caught this, but when Suter and Walman got into it, Walman just kept chirping Suter in the box.
Yes.
It was so funny because Suter's like an NPC personality. So he's just completely ignoring Walman. Walman's just so pissed, keeps barking. Meanwhile, Suter's just casually sipping from the water bottle as if he can't hear Walman at all. And you just know, when you're pissed off in a situation like that, the worst thing is when the other guy doesn't respond.
Yeah, when the other guy doesn't care. And then you get mocked by Nikita Zadorov. Like,
tough.
And look, there's so many different things to get to from this game, but one of them that I really wanted to bring up was Nikita Zadorov, really, as Jeff put it last night on Rinkwide, really playing like he knew that nobody on the Red Wings would be dumb enough to challenge him. Like, he was bigger than everybody on the Red Wings. And something I brought up to Jeff last night, Harm, and I'll bring up to you as well, is with a game that had a playoff-like feel to it, and Zadorov is doing that where, you know, he's skating with a confidence where he knows that nobody can touch him, I would like to go through every playoff team's roster and figure out who they have on their team that could take Nikita Zadorov in any capacity. Like, if they could take him on in a fight, if they would go after him in a scrum, anything like that. Because, look, the guy looks like he's swatting flies when anybody comes at him in a scrum. Like, it was hilarious. He was looking over everybody in every scrum he was in last night.
That's important as well, given that the Canucks are playing, or, you know, might end up playing Vegas or Edmonton in the playoffs, because you see Oilers fans talking about that Golden Knights series, and Vegas, their roster is massive. And you certainly heard some Oilers fans saying, we would have liked to see their roster step up to the plate a little bit better in that situation, even though Edmonton has some bigger bodies as well. They've got Nurse, they've got CeCe, they've got Evander Kane. But when you think about how big some of these Pacific Division teams are, it really goes to highlight how valuable it is for the Canucks to have Zadorov back there. Myers, even though he's not the most intimidating presence, he's still a big body. Soucy, obviously not even in the lineup. Joshua, not in the lineup. It's important for the Canucks to have this sandpaper, and it's an area that was sort of addressed on the fly, really, because Vancouver's toughest players last year were probably Luke Shen and Kyle Burrows.
Yes.
In terms of guys that would drop the gloves.
That's a fantastic point.
In the extracurricular activities, both guys left.
Yes.
So that's been addressed on the fly and addressed pretty successfully.
Yeah. And we had the clip there. Credit Sportsnet for that one. We played the clip of Zadorov doing his little dance move. Again, not the gritty, but doing his little dance move there. And Tyson Cole has already clipped it for Twitter. And I know we're going to do that as well. I know Grady's going to get that, going to clip me doing the gritty. Oh, yeah. Here we go. And there it is. There's Zadorov's gritty as well. All right. Okay. So many things to get to from last night's game. Charlie Cole, who listened to Rinkwide last night, said, just so everybody knows, there's a lot of Juulsen talk on Rinkwide last night. So, yes, it's going to be 50 straight minutes on number 47 from Quads for sure. And he's kind of right. He's kind of right, Harm. Because Noah Juulsen had such a strong performance last night, especially on the penalty kill, where it feels like he was the Canucks' most important penalty killer last night. He had good body position. He had good stick position. He was doing everything that I've seen longer than everybody, apparently, doing everything right, Noah Juulsen, last night. And I really, really liked what I saw from him. And Mike Liu, our guy who writes the statsies over at Canucks Army, where he dives into the analytics for each game, Noah Juulsen finished with the second highest expected goals of any Canuck last night, second only to Quinn Hughes. Also had the third best Corsi percentage after Nils Höglander and Elias Pettersson as well.
Stock's rising, baby.
Stock is rising. And I bought low. Like, I bought it before everybody else. I'm just throwing it out there.
You didn't buy it low?
No,
hold on.
If Noah Juulsen was a stock, he's going like this. Boom, here's the Quads point right here where I say Noah Juulsen's the third best defender on the team. From this point forward, right here, I have people saying, oh, you're so wrong. Are you related to the Aquilinis? All this sort of stuff I was facing. And then, boom, that's where it is now.
You skyrocketed. A good point, but buying it low would have been... Right.
When Jim Benning bought it.
Kind of, yes. But it would have been in late October, early November.
Yep.
When he looked brutal and I was criticizing him.
Yes.
Right? That would have been the point where you're like, I bought low.
That's fair.
If you had said it then, I would have been like, dude, take your victory laps. You have this over me forever.
You bought it as a penny stock and now it's over a dollar.
Yeah, exactly. That would be it. If I bought it when he was really, really bad at the start of the year before, you know, and look, credit to the player, he improved, but a lot of it comes down to coaching as well. He's getting some really good pointers from Adam Foote, Sergei Gonchar, and Rick Tocchet's staff. Credit to the player. But he looked nothing like this at the start of the year. Like, there was miscues with the puck. There was a lot of looking over the shoulder. And Harmon, I'll even tell a story of one day when I came into the studio with you and Noah Juulsen had played some minutes with Quinn Hughes in the game before our show. And I said to you, did you notice that Quinn Hughes was literally like cheating to show Noah Juulsen where he was going to go with the puck? Like, Quinn Hughes, super deceptive player for the opposition, But when he was paired with Noah Juulsen, I noticed him like opening up his hips to show Noah Juulsen where he was going to move the puck to. Like, that was what we were looking at the start of the year, was a player who just wasn't an NHL caliber defenseman. And now, like I've been saying for a while now, third best defenseman on this team.
I don't want to rehash that debate.
Is he the best penalty killer on the team? Forward or defender? But hands down, best penalty killing defenseman.
Yes.
Although Tyler Myers has been the first over the boards, and he's been playing well. Like, he hasn't been playing well at 5-on-5 per se. Like, he's had a few miscues there, but he's been good on the penalty kill all season long. And I don't want all the Juulsen love to get in the way of what Tyler Myers has done on the penalty, because he's been first guy over the boards. He's done an exceptional job of killing penalties all season long, definitely longer than Noah Juulsen's done it this year. But right now, it's hard to argue that Noah Juulsen is this team's best penalty killer.
Yeah, it's up there. I think the only reservation I would have is usage, right? Because if he's the best penalty killer, then why wouldn't Tocchet use him accordingly?
Yep.
Right? That's my only reservation, because look, by the eye, if you weren't factoring in ice time or anything, he's the most noticeable penalty killer in terms of making positive plays, shot blocks, effective clears, always being in the right position. Yes. I don't ever see him making mistakes. His underlying numbers are great. Put it this way, among players who have second quote-unquote pair PK minutes, he's probably up there in the NHL among best penalty killers, for sure.
I love that. I love that take.
That's a very niche. That's a very niche sort of area to be best at, to be one of the best second pair PK defensemen. But it's true. He's been that impactful.
Save that question for Frank Saravalli next week. We have one. Frank, where do you rank Noah Juulsen among second pair? No, I love it. I love it.
He does get some, I believe, first over the board situations, but like in terms of overall ice time, it's like Hronek's up there even higher than Juulsen as well, I believe. But I mean, credit to the PK as a whole last night. It's been, they're top 10 in the NHL since December. It's not that long ago that it was this team's biggest liability, arguably.
Yeah.
When you look at last season, the year before, it would.
Grady was testing the gritty clip in the back. Sorry. We'll continue to break it down. We have Wyatt waiting. We should get to him. Let's get to our guest today, Wyatt Arndt, who is brought to you by our friends over at Four Winds Brewing. Family owned and operated in Delta, home to the Four Winds Light Lager, a crisp, clean, and easy drinking beer, a beer for everyone, a perfect beer for before, after, or during the game. Ask for Four Winds Light Lager at your local liquor store, or have some delivered to your front door right through the online shop at fourwindsbrewing.ca. Okay, we'll get him in. Wyatt, did you see my gritty? Oh, I forgot we have an intro. I think gritty did.
Intro first.
All right. Same question. Why did you see my gritty?
I didn't see it yet. I was still upset that you incorrectly told me how to spell it correctly. Is that the gritty? And we had a bit of a fight, a little snafu between us. But I had to keep you up to date on what's popular right now. It's nothing unusual for me. So
yeah,
I'll check out your gritty later.
Yeah, that was a Riz moment by me, for sure. yeah, you got
I wanted to jump in real quick. Fun question for you, because you're a very serious journalist.
100%. Wyatt,
can you give me a ranking, top three, which Canucks would you think would be most offended by Wallman having done the gritty the first time these teams met?
Like, the main one for me, and it's going to be Thatcher Demko, and here's why. We saw yesterday at the game, like, when someone asked him about shooting the puck for the empty net, and he kind of, like, you can see him actually happy. And normally in scrums, he's gotten very serious with the media now. He doesn't like us too much. But he's kind of happy to talk about it. Then someone asked him, would you have done the gritty? And his face just shut down, and he's like, no. And he got very, very sad about it. Didn't want to talk about it. But that guy's got a history of dancing. Like, he's got vines. When he first started coming up with the team, he was dancing. He was known for doing little dances and shuffles. So I think he's just mad that he can't dance. Like, he wants to be able to do that, but he knows he's a serious professional now. He can't do it. So I think he's angry at Wallman that he would do the dance when he can't dance himself, because it's bursting to get out. So Demko's my number one guy. Clearly JT Miller's number two, because he hates everything. That guy's not going to be happy with that. And then the third one, I just think it's Zadorov, because Zadorov's just a guy who's going to beat up the other guys no matter what. Anything that besmirches his team, he's going to be upset about.
What did you think of Zadorov's gritty? It wasn't a gritty. As somebody who's been watching gritty tutorials all day, it wasn't a gritty. What did you think of him mocking Wallman's dance moves?
He got the point across. And if he does the full gritty, then he would be kind of, you know, compared to Wallman. I don't think he's practiced it. I think it was off the cuff. But it was enough to get him to become more of a fan favorite here. I think this is a guy that, you know, plays physical, stands up for his teammates. And how often do people, again, I talked about in the stanchies, we often talk about storylines we'd love to see happen on the ice. Like, oh, this would be crazy if this happened. And was like, oh, wouldn't it be crazy if a Canucks, like, danced back at them? And it actually happened. And Zadorov did that. That little shuffle was all it took. And that, you know, that's a fun storyline, honestly. Like, we're all having fun about it. We're all laughing. Leafs fans are yelling at me for comparing it to the Riley situation. I'm in fights all day about it. The team matters right now, which is a lot of fun. So there's why these dance movements from Zadorov. Like, he gets over with the crowd. People are loving it. Like, you couldn't have written a better script, to be honest.
How excited were you to see Toyota come on as a presenting sponsor of Canucks Conversation? They clearly are buying into the Corolla Garland movement.
They get it, right? They understand that, you know, they're the most reliable car in the market. Garland's the most reliable third line center in the market, or winger in the market. Like, they, it's the perfect partnership. And again, I would expect nothing less from Toyota, because they get it. They get it.
What did you think of the third line last night? Ilya Mikheyev gets into that spot. Harmon and I were talking about it off air a bit. Didn't seem like Ilya Mikheyev really seized that opportunity just yet.
I'm not the biggest Mikheyev fan. Like, I've been pretty down on him. Like, even when Kuzmenko was here, I was like, Kuzmenko's kind of overshadowing Mikheyev's kind of play. And fair enough, he's had the knee injury. He's got to come back from the ACL injury. So maybe next season will be more of a better indicator of where he's at. But he's not getting any younger. You know, defensively, he can be solid on the PK. I think he has skills. But just what we expect from that third line, like, they were perfectly fine. But that third line's been elite for this team. So Mikheyev dragged him down to being just perfectly fine. And, you know, they can get away with that for a bit. But one of the benefits of this team being so good is because of that elite third line. And I don't know, like, again, it's just one game. Maybe Mikheyev will, you know, take some time to get the chemistry. But it just felt like, you know, there was a noticeable difference between Dakota. Like, that speaks to Dakota, how well he's been playing, like charging to the net, being that physical presence. Like, it's unfair to ask Mikheyev to replace that in a sense. But if you're asking, like, how I thought he did, I just thought it was, you know, perfectly okay, which is not, you know, great.
Seems to sum up Mikheyev pretty perfectly. Just perfectly okay. He's fine. Like, a little more.
Offense goes to die. A gut goes to die when the puck hits his stick.
His shot is just this awful. It's muffins. It's worse than Wellwood's shot, which I never thought I'd say about an NHL player. It's just, he's like an appetizer you try at a party where you're like, yeah, it was okay, I guess. Like, that's kind of the response you always have to his play, where, like, he's not blatantly ruining anything for your team you're watching, but he's just, there's no creativity. There's nothing. The puck gets on his stick. You're just hoping he dumps in the corner efficiently. Like, that's the highlight of his shift from him. And, you know, that's not too exciting to watch.
I wanted to get your take on the All-Swedes line. Lindholm gets a pair. Do you think the Canucks have really found something with that line combination?
You know, with Lindholm, we've kind of seen a couple of good games, a couple of bad games. And again, it's only been, you know, for the four games. But, you know, that's kind of the thing with Vancouver. There's always, like, anytime there's Swedish players, we just assume that they'll automatically be fantastic together. Like, even the Sedins, there's always like, oh, this is a Swedish player. They'll be fantastic with them. So it's kind of what happens. But I do think there is some chemistry there. I think Lindholm's game really can benefit Pettersson, and you add in Hoglander, and just his style of play seems to be almost like the Alex Burrows style of getting in there in the corners, but he's also smart enough to do something with it. Might not facilitate as much as Burrows did, but he's got more of a finish than Burrows did. So it seems like he's just, you know, able to produce 5-on-5, which is something that line, you know, would greatly benefit from. And again, early days, but watching that line, you know, it was good to see them kind of come through, and even, you know, seeing the JT Miller line come through, because I joked about it last night. It's fun that when Dakota goes out, the top six lines have to come together to make up for that, which has kind of been the truth for the last little while. Like, the 5-on-5 production hasn't really been there. So obviously just Detroit, they're bigger tests ahead, but I think for me, I would definitely want to see that Swedish line, you know, continue forward.
All right. Noah Juulsen. What'd you think of his game last night? The Noah Juulsen stock is rising, Stanch.
It, you know what? That's the thing. Like, it's not like I joke around with you, but I've been on board with this kid for a while now. Cause I initially was like, when I'm watching players, like, I think in this market, I've learned, like, early on in my days, I would make jokes that maybe bordered on personal. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that person that kind of, like, attacks too much. Like, that's offside. So I've kind of really kept it on ice. And, but even for me, I kind of went hard on him in early the season on ice stuff. Like, this guy doesn't belong in the NHL. He's terrible. What's he doing here? And it was really a strong opinion. Cause I really thought he was playing terribly, but, like, he has made me look like a right stupid idiot on this one. Like, I'll own it. Like, I'm a dumb. I didn't give enough chance. I'm stupid. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you. You are making me look like a complete jerk. Because he's been playing fantastic. And there's a lot of kind of comments of Tanev Light. And that's a name you don't use lightly, but he has been playing that way, that very calm, smart game where he's getting in the shooting lanes. He's interrupting passing lanes. He's making those small passes. He's taking hits to make the play to get his teammate open, which is like a Tanev specialty, right? So for me, watching Juulsen, like, even the control in his game like that, the perfect example was that game where Chicago, where Roenick does the slip and slide, they score, but Juulsen stays on his feet, and he's really good at going down to one knee to block shooting lanes, and get right back up into the play. Because I think one of the things for me is watching Ryan Johnson back in the day, he was the shot block specialist. Oh, Ryan Johnson, no block shots like he does. Canucks get him. This is perfect. You see him try to block a shot, he slides all the way out of the zone. I'm like, what the F? What? How is that effective? It wasn't effective. Like, it looks splashy, but it's not effective. Like, when it works, cool. When it doesn't, you're putting your team down. So, full credit to Jolson. Like, this kid's looking better and better.
I wanted to ask, when you look back at the game last night, do you think how much of the game's result simply comes down to goaltending? Because it felt like Lindholm's first goal, for example, the Zadorov shot from the point, were ones that Line would want to have back. Whereas Demko was phenomenal, makes a couple of gorgeous backdoor saves that Rick Tocchet pointed out after the game would normally be tap-ins. How much of the 4-1 scoreline ultimately just came down to Canucks have Thatcher Demko and the Detroit Red Wings did not?
Well, I mean, it's kind of funny. We talk about how this team just took this giant leap forward out of nowhere. And last season, Demko was not, you know, the guy we thought he was because he was injuries, whatever it was. That was not the Demko we're used to. And look what happens. All of a sudden, you're like relying on platoon goalies and Martin, Delia, whoever's in there. They're not able to do. They're giving you kind of that goaltending you saw with Detroit where, like, these goals just go in. And so, yeah, now you're getting the benefit of the doubt. And that was always kind of the argument even during the good betting years that when Demko will play out of his mind or Markstrom will play out of his mind, people would always say, well, what's the benefit of having a top goalie? And then there would be a big argument about, like, how good was the team really? Well, right now you've got the team firing at all cylinders, the fours and the defense and Demko going off, which is why the season's turning into what it is. And the large part of that is, yeah, Demko's making these saves. He's playing fantastic. He's playing like a Vezina candidate. And that allows them to have nights where maybe things aren't all firing. Because even the best teams in the league have ebbs and flows. And right now, when there's an ebb and flow, they have guys stepping up, whether it's the third line, the top six, the defense coming through, or, you know, even Demko stepping in. Like, Carson Soucy's a big player for this team. He's been out. Jolson stepped up. Like, every time there's something kind of getting their way, someone's stepping up, and that's a testament probably to the coaching, to the team playing well. PDO goes burr, whatever you want to call it. It's all coming together at the right time right now.
Wyatt, pitchers and catchers have reported, and yes, I'm asking you about baseball. Fanatics, in partnership with Nike, has created the MLB's new jerseys, and they look awful. You've seen these?
They're a joke. They honestly look like, you know, this like a third rate company. Like, I initially started the Fanatics thing back when I ordered like an All-Star jersey. It was the 94 style one. Cause that's like, oh, it's my youth, my childhood. I want to get that jersey. I ordered it like months before the All-Star game. Fanatics tells me, oh, be here at the All-Star game the day. I'm like, okay, weird. Month passes the All-Star game. I email. I'm like, oh, sorry, we're out of them now. And I was like, what? So I was on the ball. So I hated them since then. I thought it was just me. Stories come out every week now of the misprints to the point where it feels like it's a sketch from SNL. Like, it doesn't seem real. Like, some of the stuff, like the tiny logos, the name being wrong, the numbers off, like it's crazy. Now it's got to the point now though, where the players are getting upset. So that's the first time I thought to myself, there might be trouble here when the players are mad. Because, like, if a player feels off, say a pitcher comes off the mound and says his pants weren't fit right, so you couldn't get into the groove. That's a problem now. Like, that will, even if it's just like superstition, that's now an issue that FanX has to take care of. So it honestly, it's a trash company. It really is. Like, I have no problem saying that.
Yeah. I was telling these guys about the joke, and I'll tell the listeners too. I once told you that we got a sponsor for the Stanchies, which I'm sure you weren't happy about in the app to start. But then I was like, oh, don't worry, it's just Fanatics. I sent you a fake.
I always quit that day. I was about to do the gritty and quit. I wasn't having it.
That's going to be my new way to exit
Riz. Bad Riz.
That's bad Riz.
That's the worst Riz.
Wyatt, great stuff as always, man. Thanks for joining us and enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, boys. See you next week.
Wyatt Arndt. That was Wyatt Arndt. You can go read the Stanchies over at Canucks Army. And no, those are not sponsored by Fanatics. And people in the chat are saying, yeah, I'm surprised it took this long to get to baseball. I hear you. But we are going to talk about the whole Fanatics fiasco. And I, in all seriousness, like, obviously we do the baseball bit on this show, but it's serious. Like, Fanatics is going to be the NHL's official manufacturer, designer. Everything is going to Fanatics in 2024-25. So we'll get to it more. And anyone else, but first we gotta tell you about a sponsor, and then we're gonna get to Under the Hood, brought to you by Mr. Lube. But first I gotta tell you about HSBC World Rugby Sevens, Western Canada's largest sporting event. This year is the ninth time the event has visited Vancouver as part of the World Rugby Sevens series. From February 23rd to 25th, BC Place is going to be the place to be, so get on down, grab your friends and your best costumes, and head on down to BC Place. Tickets are on sale now at vansevens.com, starting from just $40 per day. And if you want to go, we've got a four-pack of tickets for the entire weekend to give away. Text hashtag sevens, that's S-E-V-E-N-S, to 778. 402-9680 for your chance to win. We'll be giving away a four-pack each week until the event. Text hashtag sevens to 778-402-9680. And folks, The event, there's two big events next week. You got Sevens next weekend, not this one coming up. And on Thursday, you've got the Canucks Army Watch Party presented by Greta. Make sure you go get your tickets, nationgear.ca. You'll find it under the Parties tab on Canucks Army. But now it's time for Not the Tune-Up. My scripts all say Tune-Up. Under the Hood, brought to you by Mr. Lube.
Okay, can I call an audible here?
Let's do it.
Okay, so originally we were going to talk about Ilya Mikheyev on that third line not fitting well, but we kind of touched on it already because of the interview we just did with Wyatt. So I wanted to highlight, in the third period, when the Canucks had to kill off an early penalty, JT Miller deserves some love for the excellent PK shift he had. Because remember, in that moment, the score, I believe, was 3-1. So if Detroit scores on this power play, they're within one, and they have nearly the rest of the period to come back in that game. Potentially, it would have been a momentum shifting moment. On that shift, Miller first races back to break up a backdoor tap in play, which was massive.
Yep.
Basically saves a goal there. And then shortly after, as the Red Wings continue trying to work the puck around the zone, then high in the zone, it's Miller disrupting a pass again. Puck leaves the zone, kills time off the clock. Detroit had trouble re-entering the zone after that. Didn't get anything on that power play. That shift, that PK sequence was all on Miller. And for a guy that hasn't always been known for his defensive chops, for him to come through clutch in that moment, I thought was a really important, underrated moment of the game.
Absolutely. I thought he was very good last night on the penalty kill. People wanted you to talk about Brock Besser. Someone said he's wearing Harry Potter's invisibility cloak.
Well, this is what happens with, first of all,
way to tee me up for another negative anytime I go. Well, it's under the hood. It's under the hood. You just changed the oil, which is routine. Yeah. All positive. Nothing bad to report. But then I say, oh, by the way, I'm hearing this squeaky wheel and his name's Brock Besser.
I will say, I thought his defensive engagement was better. He broke up a couple plays, so I thought his energy was better, because you're right. He has been very quiet recently since the All-Star break. Not
small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Creating a ton of chances offensively. He had one early in the first period in the slot that Miller teed him up for. But this is what happens for a goal scorer like Besser, because he's not a player that kills penalties. He's not a player that drives play on his own. He's not a player that has the speed or dynamic ability to create chances by himself individually. The only time you're going to notice him is when he's scoring goals. So when goal scorers go through these ebbs and flows, they run hot and cold. When you run through a cold patch, you're not going to notice Brock Besser. That's part of what he is as a player. I will say, I thought towards the end of the game, when it was 4-1 Vancouver, Detroit pulls a goalie with 2 or 3 minutes left. On a couple of occasions there, the way that the Canucks were just trying to pass the puck to each other And we're just like, no, you score this empty netter. No, you score this empty netter. First with Lindholm and Pettersson.
Yep.
Lindholm gets the puck in the neutral zone, dishes to Pettersson.
Because he wants Pettersson to get the point.
Yeah, but then Pettersson sends it back because he wants Lindholm to get the hat trick. And then the shooting lane's taken away and neither of them score. And then Besser, with a couple of attempts with the empty netter as well, the play where Miller goes 5 feet offside, everyone will point to that, but when Besser first got the puck in the neutral zone, he had a clear shot to hit it and snap that goal drought. That was pretty unfortunate. That should have, again, busted the goal drought, but I'm not too worried about Besser right now. Yeah, you want to see more offense out of him soon, but it's part of the ebbs and flows of a goal scorer.
Yeah, of course. And that was Under the Hood, brought to you by Mr. Lube, the pioneer of the no appointment warranty approved oil change. Now providing appointment free tire service and sales. Find them at one of their 16 locations across the Lower Mainland. To find your nearest location, visit them online at MrLube.com. Anyone else, baby?
I do not have it in front of me. One sec, sorry.
I'll come in for the save. Get your anyone else ready. You better have a good one for today, because I got a few. Because it's time for anyone else, presented by DoorDash. It's our listeners' chance to get involved and hit us up in the YouTube live chat. And it's also our listeners' chance to get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download the DoorDash app and enter code NATION25. That's all capital letters, NATION, and the numbers 25. Offer valid in Canada, subject to change. Terms, of course, do apply.
You saved me like a no Juleson shot block.
That's a beautiful analogy. You've already hit your quota for anyone else. That's a great contribution to the show. I feel like we kind of glossed over this. The Canucks could go 10-17 and hit 100 points on the season.
Wow.
10-17. They got 27 games left. They could go 10-17 and still hit 100 points. They're on pace to hit 119 points, which would be two more than the 2011 Canucks. I ask again, Harmon, is this team better than the 2011 Canucks? I asked you a month ago, and I defiantly said yes.
I don't want to compare this team to the 2011 one. This is its own iteration. It's different.
It's fun.
It's exciting. But let's just enjoy it for what it is.
Exactly. And in all seriousness, because I threw out that take defiantly, but you know, if you really dive into the roster construction and the numbers, I think a really interesting exercise to do is look at how the 2011 team was constructed compared to their peers in the NHL, right? Because roster construction is different. On paper, is the center depth that the Vancouver Canucks this year have better than the one the 2011 team had? Yeah, probably. Like Elias Lindholm is better than Manny Malhotra, Max Lapierre, right? Like they have better center depth, but the way teams were constructed back then, there was no, oh yeah, you need three lines that can score. Like that wasn't happening in the NHL yet. It was a very clear top six, bottom six. It wasn't until a few years later, 9-10 years later, if you're Jim Benning, that idea started to change, that it was, okay, we need three lines that can score. And even hell, they've got four lines that can score on a lot of different teams. So it's a really interesting exercise. I think it's one we'll probably dissect more at a later date, but you know, it's so hard to compare those two teams just because the trends with roster construction in the NHL are just so different now than they were back then. But what I will say is, compared to their peers, it feels like this team's roster construction, and just, you know, like, I don't want to use the term lucky, but they are very fortunate to have the best third line in the NHL. Like, none of us thought they were going to have this third line in the NHL. Hell, we were talking about how secondary scoring might be a legitimate concern for this team. Like, a week into the season, we were talking about that, right? And, you know, they end up having the best third line in the NHL. And again, compared to their peers, that really puts them at a new level.
Even the blue line, I mean, it's, yeah, Hughes and Hronek are out of this world right now, one of the best defense pairs in the NHL. But the Canucks don't have a true second pair if you really think about it.
That's a great take.
Right? I mean, Cole Myers is a fine, competent D pair, but it wouldn't be most contender second pair. Neither would Zadorov, Juleson right now. And of course, when Soucy comes back, you've got something that more closely resembles a second pair, but the Canucks have done this. They've accomplished this amount of success mostly without Soucy. He's missed so much time this year. That's an area that surprises me. And I think what they've stumbled upon here is a case of, let's load up the first pair. We have an elite number one duo there. They're going to drive unbelievable results. And then we have a bottom four that we deploy relatively evenly.
Yep.
And they just need to hold their own, which they've done a lot better than last year, because
even if you discuss, yeah, Hughes and Hronek have been unbelievable. I mean, Hughes's results last season were at 5-on-5. I don't want to say almost as good, but they were still dominant. They were still elite. They were still among one of the best defensemen in the NHL. And it's just that when the second and third pairs were on the ice, their goal differential was abysmal, as in we should be part of the Connor Bedard sweepstakes. Yeah. Whereas this year they've got a positive goal differential, even when Quinn Hughes isn't on the ice at 5-on-5.
Yeah. And Grady told me we've got a question from the Facebook chat that we're going to get to here. Is Mikheyev worth trading to get his salary off the books? And what return can we get to help for the playoff run? Or do we get a return with better help for Abbotsford instead? Look, the trade deadline's like 2 weeks away. We saw the Canucks take this approach with Andre Kuzmenko, where they said, hey, you know what? You might be fine somewhere else, but you're not fine here. We're going to have to give up an asset to get one back, but also get rid of your money. I don't think we're there yet with Ilya Mikheyev, a guy that this management group, you know, targeted and they really, really like. And not say they didn't target Kuzmenko, but obviously Kuzmenko's situation is just a little bit different than Mikheyev. I think they're going to stick it out with Mikheyev. I don't think we're going to see him get flipped at the deadline.
Yeah, it's tough to move a contract like that. 2 years left at $4.75 million. He's got a 12-team no-trade list. It's just difficult, especially because the construction, I was going to say this year and next are inflated in terms of the salary relative to the cap hit. So even from an ownership perspective for an acquiring team, it's a lot to take on. But then the final year is only 4.15 in base salary. So it's not quite fully backloaded. So that at least makes it a contract that you perhaps can look to move in the offseason if that's the conclusion you come
just
to.
Just don't think it's ahead of the trade deadline.
And also, he is still, let's remember, coming off a partially torn ACL. It takes guys time to get back up to speed after that. You hope that there is a case where he can improve that speed. If it's not this season, then maybe next season, and that it's not an Antoine Roussel-like situation where he's just lost the foot speed for good. And not that Mikheyev's slow, but we don't see the explosiveness that really made him a distinguishable player on the ice.
Okay, we've got a lot here. I did want to also highlight, obviously, Canucks first team to 80 points. They have a 6-point lead in the NHL standings. On there's a few teams that are at 74 points, but we're going to bring this up later in our Betway Bet of the Day. The clear favorites to win the President's Trophy after what we've seen lately. They've got a 12-point lead. This is, I don't want to say the more important thing because it's not the more important thing, but it is important and it's worth keeping an eye on. A 12-point lead on the Vegas Golden Knights for top spot in the Pacific. Like, that is
just like we all thought, right?
Yeah, just like we all thought. It's like, we're heading into March soon and a 12-point lead on Vegas. Like, come on. That no one expected this. Another thing, last night I loved seeing the Canucks just going for it on the empty netter. Like, all the Hail Mary attempts that we were seeing from their own end, that was awesome. Thatcher Demko, obviously, with the attempt at a goalie goal, would have been awesome.
For reference, I want to pull up a lineup for take some time to look through other questions. I want to look up what the Canucks lineup a year ago today looked like.
Do it. I'll occupy, because there was a really good one that I saw here. This one, I don't know how to pronounce the name. I apologize. He asked if there is any chance we get the black skate jersey during the playoffs. Seems like they keep winning with them at home. This is the thing to note. You can only bring two jerseys into the playoffs. You can't wear your alternates in the playoffs. I read that somewhere. Maybe it's a lie. I think it's true, though. If I'm wrong, someone in the chat, tell me. I think I'm right on that, though. You can only bring two jerseys in the playoffs. So do the Canucks wear the white orcas on the road and go black skate at home? I think absolutely yes. I think you absolutely do it. You don't go into playoffs with the Blues. You don't.
I hadn't really thought about that yet, so I don't have a concrete take.
You don't need to think about it. It's vibes, baby. Black skate.
True, I like the black skate.
Thank
vibes.
You. There you go. Black skate vibes are good vibes. Okay, do you have this ready?
Yes, I do. Okay, so the Canucks lineup, February 25th, 2023. So not exactly a year, but right around the ballpark. Brendan Batchelor, warm-up Canucks lines versus the Boston Bruins, who are in town, coming into town pretty soon now. Okay, so first line, Kuzmenko, Pettersson, Beauvillier.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing surprising there. Garland, Miller, Besser. Okay, so the top six isn't bad. This is where it gets rough.
Dries is the center.
He's not.
Let
but
me
he's
guess
close.
The lineup.
Okay.
Okay, so third line, and this is what, February 16th?
This is February 25th.
Okay, February 25th of last year. Okay, so Horvat was gone. So, okay, obviously Beauvillier was in the lineup. All right, the third line center was, it wasn't Sheldon Dries. Was it Nils Sabon?
Close. It's Aturatu, actually.
Oh, I forgot about that. You got a that. Little yes.
Showcase there. So third line of Podkolzin, Ratu, and Dries.
That's a line. That's literally, that can be a that's line not even Abbotsford. Abbotsford's top line.
And then a fourth line of Joshua, Amon, and Stanika. Now it gets even better, okay? The blue line, oh boy. Quinn Hughes and Ethan Bear.
Yes.
Your top pair. Christian Wolanin and Kyle Burrows. Third pair of Guillaume Brise, Bo Talamires, and then Archer Seelovs in net.
That's isn't insane. That wild? And like, let's not forget, Seelovs was getting a look because, first of all, he played great in Abbotsford and he's a great goaltender, but also because Delia and Martin were the other goalies and they were just awful.
Yeah, you have one top four caliber defenseman. You have Archer Seelovs and unproven pro in net.
That's insane. Like, that's insane that that was the lineup a year ago. That's yeah, actually crazy.
No bottom six.
Like, none.
That's like almost a AHL roster, half an AHL roster.
Exactly. And you think about what, like, Dakota Joshua was the fourth line winger on that team. Think about his rise this year. Like, he's already obviously matched his goal, point totals, all that. He's already matched all that. But man, like, he's become such a player that's so hard to replace in the Canucks lineup right now. Man, I don't know if anybody has an Apple Watch. Does anybody else get really annoyed that Siri just randomly starts up?
Yeah.
It happens to you too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's the worst.
I didn't ask for you to talk.
You know what? I've been saying this for months, that I got to figure out how to shut this damn thing off because I never, ever want to... I've never intentionally used it. Only by accident.
It was worried for you when it heard the Canucks lineup there.
Yeah, that's right. Siri jumped in like, please don't talk to me like that.
All right. Do you need some help?
What?
He needs lots.
We got to go over what changes happened. Like, where all those players are now. And we don't have to do it right now. But it's just like, let's, you know what we'll do, Harm? We'll look at the lineup.
In the AHL.
We'll look at the lineup from the last game of the season last year to this year. Because then you're going to get Cole McWard. You're going to get Akito Hirose.
Oh my goodness.
You're going to get Aiden McDonough. Those guys are all in the lineup.
Yeah.
Like, those guys are all in the lineup. That's wild. Okay. Yeah, we've got so much. Nar, where outside the rink should we put Jim Rutherford's bronze statue? If this team wins a cup, Jim Rutherford gets a statue.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Okay. I'm just making sure we all agree on that. Okay.
Can you imagine? That would be one of the most dramatic turnarounds from where this club was a year ago.
Yep.
But
and even going back through that roster you just said, like, look at the amount of guys that have come in.
Yep.
And that's where this new management team, can we even call them new anymore, gets credit. Yeah, people want to throw back, oh, the core of Jim Benning. But last time I checked, that core wasn't good enough to get him in the playoffs. It's really the depth pieces up and down the lineup, forwards, goaltending, defense, that's really made a difference.
Also, like, putting away all context, if I just told you on paper, it's like, yeah, Jim Rutherford's going to come in. His first big decision is going to be to trade the beloved captain, bet on JT Miller, who at the time wasn't very, you know, like wasn't showing a ton of effort, all this stuff, all these issues that people had with JT Miller, whatever, you know, decides to trade away the beloved captain. And it just puts all his chips in on Philip Hronek and absolutely crushes it.
Miller was almost traded to Pittsburgh.
And how crazy do we think it was when, you know, like we were talking about, you know, the potential Miller trade with Pittsburgh, how crazy everybody thought it was that the Canucks didn't want to do a trade that was rumored to have two first round picks, or they wanted two first round picks or something like that. And they weren't willing to move on from Miller for that cost. Like, you just look at all these moves now and you go back. It's insane. It's an insane turnaround. It's unprecedented.
The moves that they didn't make are nearly as important as the ones they did actually make. Besser, Miller's one of them.
Garland.
Even
Tyler Myers.
Before Demko's turnaround down the stretch, do you remember when just lightly there were some insiders speaking about how Demko might be on the market, how he might be available?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And that didn't even sound insane at the time because he'd struggled, then gotten hurt, and you're thinking, are the Canucks about to tear it down and rebuild?
And you also were wondering about the timeline. Like, it, okay, and yeah, like if you're going to tear it down and rebuild, sure. But also, are you going to continue to be in this mushy middle because your team up front sucks, but you have a really, really solid goaltender? Because like that's kind of what Calgary Flames are at right now with Jacob Markstrom, it feels like. And obviously if Dustin Wolf and Dan Vlahos are coming, and that plays into it too. But like by all accounts, the Flames are trying to move on from Jacob Markstrom. And yeah, like Jacob Markstrom's the main reason that team is even sniffing a playoff spot. Yeah. But they're, look, credit to Conroy, right? First year GM, being pretty honest with themselves in Calgary right now, it would seem. Okay, we got a lot of good ones here. What did I have here? I had one that I really wanted to get in. Oh yeah. The Fanatics jerseys. All right, let's get to that at the end. Let's get to the end. It's kind of baseball talk, and it is really topical to hockey, and I do want to talk about it quite a bit, but let's stick with all the hockey talk, because we got so many in the chat here from our listeners. This is from Captain Canuck. When the Canucks have the lead on a power play, we need two defensemen on the ice. We need to change how we're playing with the lead. I like it with the lead. I like thinking about that, but I'd also raise you a situation where you want the power play to get as many reps as possible, and just splitting up that unit for any stretch of time. Like maybe I get it a little bit more in the playoffs. If you're protecting the lead, you want two defensemen out there. I get it. Like maybe if it's the playoffs, but during the regular season, I'm giving those guys as many reps as possible to tune themselves up for the playoffs.
I agree. I don't think that you need two defensemen out there unless it's high leverage moment. There's only a few minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
And the potential gain of a power play goal isn't worth the potential risk of having four forwards on the ice.
Yeah. We didn't really talk about it. Nils Höglander getting some power play time last night. Thought he looked really good in the net front position. Really good at continuing the cycle. And he has that deceptiveness with the puck. And again, that low center of gravity, all that stuff that we always talk about with him and Connor Garland. He fit in seamlessly, kind of like we would have expected Nils Höglander to on the power play.
Yeah, Tocchet said that he's going to continue to give Höglander a look there, liked what he saw from him. Actually said that he wanted to see that unit direct more pucks towards the net through traffic so that Höglander, because of how good he is around the net, could have been more involved. Because the second unit, I remember one play where they made a pass across to Höglander. He got a stick on it, and it was a dangerous scoring chance, but it deflected in a way that he wasn't able to get the chance on net. But outside of that, it didn't feel like the unit did a great job of creating chaos around the front of the net, which is where Höglander is going to thrive.
Gnar, does Aquilini, Francesco Aquilini, deserve any credit for the turnaround? He calls it a spicy topic. Yeah, I think he deserves a lot of credit. He flew to Jim Rutherford's house and brought him out of retirement.
Yes, he deserves credit for identifying Rutherford, but
don't give me but.
Well, did you see on Spin Chicklets where they were just raving about Canucks ownership?
All right, we're not doing that. we're not doing that on this show, but I did see that. Yeah. Yes.
Well, yes, I'm fully with you. They identified the right hockey ops. That deserves a lot of credit. But you can't, if you're going to credit them for that, you also can't ignore all the previous years where they had Jim Benning in charge and had this mandate of keep making the playoffs. I'll say this. When Benning made the OEL trade as a last ditch Hail Mary, people will blame Benning for that. I actually think that as a franchise, your ownership group should never put a GM in that spot where he's making a reckless trade like that to save his job.
Fair enough.
Because
and look, like a move like that gets okayed by ownership. We know how pro sports works.
So, I mean, and remember, that was at the end of the 2021 season where the majority of this fan base wanted Jim Benning gone anyway.
Yeah.
And they let him continue for one more offseason, which created a ton of damage.
That was his last huge steam and dump right in the middle of the ice and walked away.
So you have to play it both ways.
You're right. You're right. But also, this one from Gnar, I give Aquaman credit. Whoa. Credit for realizing he needed to stay away from hockey ops. And that's the thing. Like, obviously, we hear rumors, all that sort of stuff, and we're not going to get into that. But ever since Rutherford's come here, one thing we've heard is that, and we've heard this from Rutherford, right, is that, yeah, like, I'm allowed to do my job, and I communicate with Francesco, but it's not like there's any, you know, meddling or anything, all the rumors and stuff that we've heard. Nothing like that with Rutherford from everything we've heard.
Approving the OEL buyout is a big one.
And there you go. That's another one. And here's one for you, Harm. Further to the question of, does Aquilini deserve credit? What does this team look like this season if Francesco says, you know what? No, I don't want to approve the biggest buyout in NHL history.
You're not going to have this depth.
You're not going to have that depth. You're like, God knows what you're doing next year.
Well, he fixed his own problem there. If you think about it,
you're not wrong. All right. Now we've given too much credit. Someone said
it. Fixed his own mistake. Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. There you go. Captain Canuck, don't make it. No, we're not even it. He goes, is Rick Tocchet better than Pat Quinn? I'm not touching it after one season. No, I am not touching it. He's a good coach. Rick Tocchet's a good coach. Everybody on this show knows that we both really, really like him. Okay. Did I get anything else? Oh, you know what? I wanted to get this in, and someone asked about it. He asked about keeping Casey Smith or Dakota Joshua. I'd say Dakota Joshua. You can get a backup goalie. And not to diminish what Casey Smith's done. In fact, what I really wanted to say in anyone else today is that I'm surprised at how much Thatcher Demko's playing. Not surprised, maybe surprise isn't the right word, but it's going to be tempting. You see that President's Trophy right there. Going to be tempting to ride Demko, but they have had a plan this year. They have stuck to that plan extremely well. There is no reason that Thatcher Demko should start over 60 games. Hell, 50, 55. 55 is probably a more appropriate number. There's no reason that Thatcher Demko should start over 55 regular season games. He's the first goalie to 30 wins as well. I wanted to bring that up. He's starting to tie all the records that Roberto Luongo set in the early 2010s, late 2000s. And anytime you're in that conversation, you are doing something right. Okay, do you have anything hockey related? Because I wanted to bring up this Fanatics thing.
I'm done. You can go ahead.
Okay, and I told you this briefly before we went to air. And for those that don't know, basically what's happened with Major League Baseball, pitchers and catchers have reported teams are starting to report for spring training. Baseball season is upon us. And what we're seeing is these new jerseys. And pull up this picture of White Sox pitcher. Goodness. Michael Kopech, Grady, if you could pull this up from the White Sox. And to those on the podcast, you've probably seen the photo on Twitter. If you haven't, just search Fanatics MLB. It's going to be the first thing you see. On the left, you see what last year's jerseys look like. And on the right, you're seeing what the new jerseys look like. The lettering is smaller. The numbers look awful. Players were saying that it's not stitched on anymore. It's like heat pressed. And they're selling these for the price of regular jerseys, like $175 US is what they're selling these damn things for. And the players are not only do they not look good, but there was an article in The Athletic from Angels camp that the players really don't like it as well. And we've got these two quotes here from Carlos Estevez and Taylor Ward. This one from Taylor Ward, Angels outfielder, he said, it looks like a replica. It feels kind of like papery. It could be great when you're out there sweating. It may be breathable, but I haven't had that opportunity yet to try that out. But from the looks of it, it doesn't look like a $450 jersey. And then Estevez commented on the functionality of the jerseys. And to me, this one, and Wyatt touched on this as well, this is an even bigger indictment on these jerseys. Now, again, I know we're talking about hockey here in the sense of Fanatics is coming on as the manufacturer and the designer for next year's NHL jerseys. That's worrisome in itself because these jerseys were designed by Nike, manufactured by Fanatics. And look, Nike's putting their stamp on these, so you feel like something's going to happen, especially when you're getting quotes like these from players. But look, we've seen problems with Fanatics for a very long time. This is what Carlos Estevez said, Angels reliever, about the jerseys. At his locker, Angels reliever Carlos Estevez was in a tizzy over the new threads. He pulled out a couple tops and pairs of pants to show that the shades didn't match. He laughed at the spacing and shrunken nature of the lettering on the back of the jersey, and he bemoaned the fact he can't customize his pants to his preference, the way pitchers once could, tailoring the fit to their big dumpers and tree trunk thighs. And Wyatt pointed it out as well. A guy's on the mound, and he can't feel like 100% because of the clothes he's wearing, because of the uniform that he's mandated to wear. They're going to have some serious problems over there. Nick P. I missed the whole show, but I'm glad I showed up for the anti-Fanatics rant. Those jerseys are trash. Go to the front of the show, Nick. You missed something good right off the hop. So yeah, you'll want to go there. And Rohan's asking if this is the only platform we're live on. No, it is not, but you have the best chance of getting your comment read if you're on the YouTube live show. We've also got on Facebook, and look, Jesse Bremner as well on Facebook, fittingly said, don't buy these jerseys, force the prices to come down. You can get better jerseys on like DHgate right now.
I was going to say, when you first showed the pictures comparing last year's to this year's with that White Sox pitcher, right? Mm-hmm.
Look, I was like, you're doing baseball talk.
I thought the new jerseys were knockoffs. Like, you could have told me, oh yeah, those are knockoffs from some shady
DHgate
overseas website. And I would have been like, oh yeah, sounds about right.
Oh yeah, it's not good.
Those are going to be sold for $450?
Well, I actually don't know why he threw out that figure. I don't think they're $450.
Even if they're like $250.
Which I think they will be. It's nuts. They will be $250.
It looks like it costs $10.
I'm just glad I bought a Julio Rodriguez jersey. The one that's when we do our remote shows, the one that's behind me. I bought that last year, and it's a beautiful jersey. It's a beautiful, beautiful jersey. But I wonder how this ends. And obviously the reason I bring it up is with the context of the NHL switching literally next year, folks. New jerseys coming next year from Fanatics, designing and manufacturing the jerseys.
I also saw somebody on Canucks Twitter. They were going to attend a road game. So Canucks fan in a U.S. city, I think. They'd ordered a Quinn Hughes jersey, and it was Hughes with 34 as the nameplate. Like, come on. Embarrassing.
Can't happen. And we've seen Hughes misspelled, too.
Oh, geez. I haven't seen that.
Quinn Hughes.
I think that one was that one might have been a Photoshop, right? I think that one might have been a Photoshop. Someone trying
who
to
who knows these days, man.
The well, that's the thing. That's so bad. You go, there's like full Twitter accounts dedicated to the quality of Fanatics being piss poor.
Fanatics sucks.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good that's name. That's what the count is. Name. But anyways, just something to watch. Something that I noticed in baseball. Thought it was relevant for this show. So sorry I brought up baseball on a hockey show.
It's got a hockey.
Yeah,
to it
does. But let's get to our Betway Bet of the Day. And I brought this up earlier. Grady, can we pull up the President's Trophy odds as they stand? Because folks, you're gonna guess what my Betway Bet of the Day is. But can we pull up the odds first? Because it shows that the Canucks are the favorite by quite a bit to win the President's Trophy. You got the Canucks at plus 175, the Dallas Stars at plus 500, the Florida Panthers at plus 500, the Bruins and Jets at 800, and then it goes down Rangers, Oilers, Avalanche, lower. But the Vancouver Canucks at plus 175, by far the favorite to win the President's Trophy. And why wouldn't they be, Harm? Why wouldn't they be 6 points up on everybody? It's going to be a good battle when Winnipeg comes to town tomorrow. We'll be back on Tuesday to break it all down. But for our Betway Bet of the Day, today it is the Vancouver Canucks to win the President's Trophy. A $10 bet at plus 175 odds returns you $27.50 over at, you guessed it, Betway. It must be 90 plus play. If you choose to play, please play responsibly. So don't bet on the Bruins to win the President's Trophy. It was a good week. Good week of shows. A lot of fun. I got my baseball talk in and was able to disguise it enough as hockey talk. So it was a good show. It was a good show. It was a good week for Canucks hockey. And like I said, we will be back on Tuesday to break down Saturday's game against the Winnipeg Jets. We'll have another game at 11 a.m. on Family Day as well. So enjoy your long weekend, everybody. Spend time with your families. For my co-host, Harmon Dial, and our technical producer, Grady Sass, my name is Dave Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Canucks Conversation. Canucks Conversation with Harmon and Quads, brought to you by the Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X's fresh look is just an added bonus to its range, since you can drive up to 406 kilometers on a single charge. That's enough to get you from Kitsilano to Whistler or Kamloops to Kelowna and back, and still be home in time for the game. Now that's what we'd call electric. The best part, by choosing electric, you can get up to $11,000 in rebates and incentives. The BZ4X are in stock and selling quickly, so make sure to visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Pacific Toyota dealer to get your hands on one. Canucks Conversation is live Monday through Friday, every weekday at 2 p.m. over on the Canucks Army YouTube channel. Make sure you like, subscribe, and interact in the YouTube live chat every day with us, folks.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.